Today we're finishing up the series on Hope Breaks Through. Hope Breaks Through. I have loved this series so much. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. I love the fact that God always gives us hope. Like I said, there's no problem on earth that heaven can't solve. There's no problem that we could ever face that God doesn't have an answer for. He has an answer for everything. And today's message is entitled, No Matter What. Hope breaks through no matter what. The first point, if you want to follow along, all the answers will be given up on the screen, but there is a note page in your program. Did anybody not get a program? Raise your hand. Over here, Tina. Over here. Wow, a few people didn't get programs. Pass those out for anybody who might want one. Thank you, Willie. Willie on the spot. Appreciate it. Over here, there's still a few more. They want you running around today. Over here, awesome. So the first point I want to talk about, oh, Noah saw his dad walk by, didn't he? The first point is God gives us a hope that is not based on stuff that happens. It's not based on stuff that happens. Recognize these? I'm sorry for the artwork. I apologize in advance. I can't even draw a good emoji. It's really sad. But you get the point, right? What does this look like? Happy? Excited? Calm? Peaceful? Right? Happy. Who do you think I drew that one for? Oh, she's not in here. She'll be in here a minute. Who did I draw that one for, kids? Do you know? Nikki. Oh, yeah, Nikki, because every time she gets a picture, she's sticking her tongue out. So I had to include that one so we can tease her later. So our scripture today, the first one I want to look at is Matthew 20, 17 through 19. But before we read it, I want you to kind of get a picture of where, you know, where it is, where it starts. Jesus has been traveling with his disciples for 3 years, and they've seen lots of healings, which made them feel happy. They saw lots of people freed from demons, which made them happy. They saw thousands of people following Jesus, and they were on his team, so they felt happy. Right? Good stuff. All good stuff going their way. They were the what was talked about in town. Everybody was talking about them. They were popular. They were the popular kids. They were happy. They were learning how to help people get healed, set free. They were learning how Jesus came and turned everything upside down. He paid attention to people that other people said, ugh, I don't want to be with them. Jesus said, I'll be with them. And that made them happy. And then Jesus says this to them in Matthew 20, 17 through 19. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priest and the teachers of religious law. Notice how specific he is here. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. And suddenly, this became this. Really fast. 3 years of happy became, oh, well, what is he talking about? Well, what is he talking about? This, what does that look like, kids? That looks angry. Showing his teeth. Could be sad, too. This one's definitely sad, huh? Tears coming down. This one's, I don't know, sad. This one just looks confused to me. Like, huh? What? But I love this because even though Jesus said, boys, it's about to get real up in here, He told them three times what was about to happen, but every time he told them what was about to happen, he said, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. He's talking about himself. On the third day, I'll rise again. What did he do there? He held out hope that even when you have one of these feelings, it's going to work out. Hebrews tells us, I can't tell you exactly where, somewhere in Hebrews, you can find it if you look hard enough. It says somewhere in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus was able to endure the cross. Jesus was able to go through every emotion you see and more because he knew what was going to be on the other side of it. Do you see how he held out hope even in the middle of this? Even in the middle of the worst pain he could imagine, has Jesus ever walked with you through the worst pain you can ever imagine? Raise your hand. I'm there. I didn't think it was possible to have that kind of pain and live physically. I really didn't. But Jesus was with me. And you see, what we need to remember is that our hope does not depend on circumstances. Our hope does not depend on stuff that happens. I'm not saying you're always going to look like this, because that would be fake. And we don't want fake. I'm not saying you're always going to look like this either, because that would be depressing. Life is somewhere in between. It really is. Maybe even it's here. You know, it's really not all highs and all lows. It's somewhere in the middle, usually. But you can have hope not based on stuff that happens. You can have hope no matter what. I love that Jesus said, look, guys, it's going to change now. It's been all good up to now. It's been all pretty easy up to now. Every time a religious teacher came to me and tried to put me in my place, I put them in their place. Every time somebody needed love, we shared love with them. Every time somebody needed healing, we shared healing. But now it's going to change, but keep your hope. Keep your hope. Don't lose your hope. That gives me hope. That's when I wake up in the morning and I go, no matter if my day ends up looking like this or like this, I'm going to have hope. Nikki, I drew this one just for you, by the way. Yeah, I told everybody while you were out, so I just wanted to, yeah, clarify that for you. No matter what my day looks like, no matter what, I can have hope. The second point I want to look at is that I can have hope in praise and in criticism. I can have hope in praise and in criticism. Let's see. This is what I need first. You ever had people clapping for you? Yay! That's what happened with Jesus. That's what we celebrate today, Palm Sunday. We don't have palms, but we have hand clappers and parents. No, I didn't buy one for every kid. You're welcome. Because, I don't know, 3 weeks ago I passed out party horns and I think I pushed the envelope just a little bit for you parents. Sorry, I like doing that, but I really was tempted, but I didn't give in to the urge. But kids, if you want one, they're at Dollar Tree for a dollar. You can have hope in praise or in criticism. Notice the way Jesus handles his triumphant entry that we celebrate today. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Woohoo! Yay for Jesus! That is loud, isn't it? Whoo! Yeah, really glad I didn't get 30 of those. Verse 38, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. Now, We need to understand the significance of what they were saying there. They weren't just saying, woohoo, go Jesus. They were saying, here's the Messiah we've been waiting for. Here's the Messiah, the King that our parents have been waiting for. Hey, this is the one that has been prophesied by the prophets hundreds of years ago. This is Jesus, our Messiah. It was a big deal for them to say that. Very big deal. But there's always a but in there, isn't there? Oh, yeah, we could go down that rabbit trail. Okay, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, here comes the criticism, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. Jesus replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. I love that. You see, Jesus, when he was having the cheering, we don't hear a word of what he said. We don't know what he looked like. We don't know if he was smiling. We don't know. I tend to think he was smiling. But we can have hope in praise or in criticism. Immediately after he had the praise, he got some criticism. Another prop. He got some criticism. Have you ever felt like people were launching things at you? There, look at that. Connie, that was right to you, wasn't it? Now, but they probably don't launch ping pong balls or wiffle balls. It's probably more like rocks that gets launched at you, right? Oh, Isaac, you can get it for me. I knew he wanted to. They're launching things at him. That's a pool ball. If it's wet, it really flies, but if it's not, it doesn't so much. They were launching negative, thank you. They were launching negative things at him. They said, Jesus, what are you doing? You can't let them praise you that way. Pow, we're gonna launch a rock at you in your praise. Pow! And Jesus said, yeah, if they didn't, the stones would. The stones would break out in song. You know, Jesus could have responded in a lot of different ways to that. He could have said, God, get him. I mean, really, he could have. He could have said, be quiet, you're not allowed to talk anymore, and they would be mute. He could have said to the people giving him praise, hold on, because it's going to change in a few days, and you might not be saying what you're saying right now. Might be saying something completely different. But he had hope through the whole process. And here's one thing I'm learning in life. If you live by someone's praise, you'll die by their criticism. We can't live by that. Our hope cannot be in someone's praise, because if it is, when they criticize you, and they will, because we're all human, we mess up. When they criticize you, your hope will be gone. Your hope has to be on something more stable than praise or criticism. It needs to be in Jesus Christ, who never, never lets you down, never betrays you, never abandons you. Jesus set a good example here. He said, my hope is not in that. My hope is not in that. You can have hope whether you're getting praise or whether you're getting things thrown at you. Either way, you can have hope. The last one, hope when facing injustice. Hope when facing injustice. I am convinced that if we can learn this key that Jesus set for us all in the Passion Week, every point that I'm looking at is from the week of the Passion. Every point. It's interesting to me that you see this hope filtered through his Passion Week. That's very fascinating to me. But in Matthew 21, 12, 16, he sets an example for us that if we will follow it, we could change the world. Literally, we could change the world. Here it is. Jesus entered the temple. This is after they've just been, woohoo, And after they've been throwing stuff at him, right after that, he entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." What did he do? He addressed a social injustice. He said, "You know what? This is not right. You are overcharging people for sacrifices that God has told them they have to offer, and you're making money off of their backs, and it's not right. It's not fair. That was never the intention of this temple." That's what he said. It's not about making money. Did he stop there and storm out of the temple and abandon the temple to its fate? You see, that's people who are good at fighting social injustice. They stay in the angry phase and never follow the rest of the example. He didn't go, "This is a mess. I'm out of here." No. No. Look at what happens right after that. He says, "Now I'm going to show you how it should be done." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied, "haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise." You see, I think there was a dual purpose for him turning over the tables. I think one of the purposes was to reestablish the purpose of the temple, which was not to make a bunch of money off of people. It's not the purpose of the temple. Then he turned around and he said, "Okay, here's how it's supposed to be done. Pray for the lame, pray for the sick, pray for those who need healing. Reach out my love to them." And now that's the purpose of the temple, is to be a place of prayer, not a place of money making. Now, do we need money to have a building and heat the building and cool the building? The 1 month out of the year we need to cool the building, and you know, of course we do. But he said, that's not the purpose. That's not the original design. The original design is to make it a place of prayer, to touch people and encourage them and to pray with them. That's the original intention. But I think the second reason he turned over the money tables is because he knew that very soon there wouldn't be any need for sacrifices. System, the old system, gone. New system getting put in place where he became the ultimate sacrifice and took care of the whole sacrificial system from then forever, infinity. He said, wham, turning over that table. Won't need that one anymore. Won't need that one anymore. Won't need that one anymore. Now let's heal the sick. Let's bring the lame and the blind in. It's interesting too, because in that culture, anyone who had a physical defect couldn't even go into the temple, into the inner proper temple, right? They had to stay out in this other area. Jesus said, bring them in. I want to heal them so they can come. You can see he's saying, I'm establishing a whole new way of doing things here. No sacrifices needed. People who were once left out are now brought in. Oh, I love that. He is so good. He is so good. There is no one on earth that shouldn't be welcomed to the Father if they want to come to the Father. No one on earth. No one. Our job is to love. His job is to set them straight if they need setting straight, because he's setting me straight when I need set straight on an ongoing basis. Our job is to love. His job is to set straight. Then I just wanted to share, because we're ending the month out some of my favorite quotes on hope. So I wanted them in the note page. I hope they're on the note page, are they? The favorite quotes on hope, here they are. Any area of my life that doesn't glisten with hope is under the influence of a lie. Any area of my life that doesn't glisten with hope is under the influence of a lie. So then what do? You trace the path to the lie, and then you replace it with truth. That's why these declarations that we did in January are so powerful. If you want any, there's a few left back on the table back there as you're leaving. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to use these declarations. You can write your own declarations based on scripture. Dave and I wrote these all based on scripture because you don't want to put your hope in something that's not true. But if you're facing something and you have no hope in one area of your life, I challenge you. If you want to change that, if you don't, then stay hopeless. I can't change that. But if you want to change it, find a scripture that is the opposite of that thing. Like if you always feel rejected, for instance, if you struggle with feelings of rejection, you could trace it back why, but it doesn't matter why as much as you recognize, okay, I struggle with feelings of depression. Then you go and you find a scripture that talks about God accepting you and that when you stand before him, you stand before him without a single fault. And he doesn't reject you. And then you write your own declaration based on that. And you say it like you believe it until it becomes part of you. That's what you do. I can't tell you how many times since we gave these out that I'll be having kind of a rough day. You know, life happens. And I will start to read these things. And it will change everything for me. It will change my mentality. It's not because these are magic words. It's because these are true. And I realign myself with the truth. And then it changes my feelings. Do you know emotions are supposed to follow beliefs? Not the other way around. Well, I'm sad, so there must be something wrong. Duh. Find truth and let your emotions tag along. They're the caboose. They're not the engine. They're the caboose. We spend all of our time looking at the caboose, trying to analyze the caboose. No, find the truth and the right emotions will follow. Just like our poster board. Another one of my favorite quotes on hope, my hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. You know, there's actually scientific evidence that if you think there's not a solution to your problem, the creative part of your brain will shut down and you will believe there's no solution. You won't have the ability to actually see if there is a solution. It can be right in your face and you won't see it. So my hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. By far. But if I can get some truth in me, some truth in me, I will not be hopeless about that thing anymore. The next one is, there are no hopeless circumstances, only hopeless people. Now, that's not about putting guilt and shame on you, because I don't believe in that. God delivered us from that. That's about recognizing we tend to become victims of our own circumstances, and then we go, poor little me, this happened to me, and I have no control over it, and life is bad. And so we're at the mercy of our circumstances, and this says the opposite. There's not a single hopeless circumstance in the entire world. There's only hopeless people. So, I can change that. I can't change your hopelessness. I can change my hopelessness. That's empowering, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, I don't have to be a victim of my circumstances. I can rise above that, and God will show me a solution, because there's always a solution. Might take some time, might still be hard. Not saying it's la-da-da-da-da, no, it's not like that. But he'll always give a solution. The last one. Hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. I love that. It is an overall optimistic attitude about the future based on the goodness and promises of God. Now, please understand, it's way more than just positive thinking. That's a small element of it. It definitely is. But it's way bigger than that. Because it's not just, I feel great. I feel great. If I say it enough, I'll believe it. I feel great. It's not that. That's flimsy and doesn't hold up when life gets hard. It just doesn't. But you know what always holds up when life gets hard? Always. 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 So if you understand this, if you understand the foundation that God is good all the time, he's good, then that's what hope is. It's the confident expectation that good is coming because God is in my future and good is coming. He's in my present, he's in my past, so good is coming because he's there, he's preparing the way for me. That's really what hope is. It's the confident expectation that good is coming. It's an overall optimistic attitude about the future based on the goodness and promises of God. Find promises of God. You can find some really good ones very easily if you're overwhelmed by the number of pages here. Google promises of God and make sure they're scripture. We have it so easy in the age that we live in, really. You don't have to work very hard to find what you want. I mean, the boys and I are so funny. If we can be watching TV at night and one of them will say, hey, and they'll ask me a question and I go, I don't know, but I can find out. You can Google anything. Why does my cat tip over the water bowl? Looked that up yesterday. I don't know why she does, but she does. I got four different answers. So now I'm figuring it out. Yeah, I mean, really. Google promises of God and you will find scriptures that tell you about God's promises. Then you write them down or type them up or paste them on your mirrors, paste them on your refrigerator, paste them wherever you're gonna see in your car. And you say those babies out loud, out loud, out loud, until you believe them. And you'll be amazed at how hope comes into your life. It is amazing to me how it changes my outlook on a situation. It changes the way I read scripture. I've been really studying hope a lot along with the leadership team. A lot of the leadership team were taking this online class for the whole year of 2015. And the whole month of March has been about hope and joy. So it's been fun teaching about it and learning about it simultaneously. It's been really great. And then talking to people who are in the class about it, you know. But I read scripture differently. Right after I started the month of March, I came across that scripture in my devotional that says, every man or every person is going to stand before God and give an account. And I'm telling you, since I was a little girl, that verse would strike fear into my heart. I'm like, oh. Because I always assumed when I read that verse that God meant, that what that meant was God was going to go, okay, tell me why you did this, tell me why you did that, tell me why you did this, and tell me why you did that. Where did I get that image of God? It's not a correct image of God. The cross has changed that, the way we view God. For the first time in my life, I'm 51 and a half years old. For the first time in my life, when I read that verse, I went, oh. And you know what image I got this time? I got an image of me crawling up in his lap and telling him about my life and the things that happened, as if he didn't know, but he does. He wants to hear it, you know? Like when your kids are little and you say, how was your day? And they go, oh, at recess, this happened, and this happened, and then that happened, and then I got an A on a test. That's what I envisioned when I heard every person's going to give an account to God. That's exactly what I saw in my head. Like God's going to say, come on, tell me about how it went. Tell me about your life. Now he sees it, he knows, but don't you think he wants to hear it from my lips? Absolutely. Because then my praise will ever be, his praise will ever be on my lips all the time, all the time. It changes. If you can get a picture of hope in God being good, it will change the way you look at everything. It will change the way you deal with your kids. It will change everything. So I just long for you. I'm going to end with one scripture from Romans 15, 13. And Chris, I didn't give it to Ron, so you don't have it, so don't sweat it. one verse from Romans 15:13. You can make this your declaration if you want, until you find your own and write your own. It says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just make that a prayer over you right now. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and hope because you trust in Him. Joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it be. Amen. Amen.